You may take your seats. Hallelujah. Jo, I can really feel the presence of God in this house. Are you ready?
Yes.
I believe God's going to move mightily this morning. It's such an honor for us to be here. I'm sharing with you about the ABCs of Holy Spirit impact. Can you remember A? Be anchored in God's goodness and who He is. The B? Believe that His power is for you and through you right now. Come on, say right now. Then thirdly, the C stands for carry His presence. You need to carry His presence in your life through worship, through prayer, through the Word of God. Amen. And then the D is desire, the Spirit. You need to have a passionate desire for more of God. Amen. Praise be to God. Okay, so this morning I'm going to share with you around the theology of healing. I'm going to share some stories to stir your faith. But there's a mountain that needs to move in our lives. Okay, now you need to focus this morning because we are training you. You're going to be praying for people at the end of this session. Amen. Say yay.
Amen.
Okay, so God's going to heal under your hands and under your words in Jesus' name. And I understand it's a massive shift from, you know, it's like Peter in the boat and stepping out and walking on water. It just feels impossible until you do it and you see Jesus catching you and every step becomes a miracle. So when you are led by the Spirit, every step becomes a miracle. Amen. So, I shared this verse last night. Acts 6 verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Full of faith, a shift in mindset, and power, full of the Holy Spirit, and they did great wonders and signs. He did great wonders and signs among the people. I shared this last night as well. The Lord said to me, the only obstacle you're facing is unbelief. The mountain is not the problem. God is a mountain moving God. The problem is our unbelief. And we don't even have a clue how much our unbelief is affecting us. So we need to move the unbelief in our hearts. And you and I need to believe this. John 7:38, it says, "He who believes in me." Not who he was awesome, not who he was the pastor, not he who has great education. It says he who, come on, say, believes in me, in Christ. As the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In Jesus' name. I'm getting a bit of echo here. Maybe make my monitor a little bit softer. I'm causing a bit of echo. Amen. Okay, praise God. Okay, so quick question. Why does God heal? Why does God heal? Why does He heal people? Why does He want to heal people? Well, a few answers. Number one, God is love. He loves people. When your body is ridden with disease, it's like your body becomes a torture chamber. It becomes like a place of torment. And Jesus came to set the captives free. Whether it be in the soul or in the spirit or in their physical being, Jesus wants to set free. So His love, that's the one reason. He loves people. Second reason, God wants to do signs and wonders because the signs and the wonders points to Jesus being the one who forgives sins and he saves. Every miracle points to Jesus, that He's real, that He's powerful, that He still forgives and He sets free. Amen. Now, one of the biggest challenges when it comes to the theology around healing is that we allow our experiences to define our faith and not the Word of God. We allow our disappointments. You prayed for somebody, you prayed for a loved one, they died. What is your response? Eesh. Maybe God doesn't heal anymore. Or maybe it's not His will to heal anymore. So we went to Argentina in 2015, and I knew nothing about the church. I only realized it later, but the pastor's daughter, who was in her 30s, she was in the ministry, she had cancer and she died of the cancer. Everybody prayed, nothing happened. So when I came there, when we came there, the church was ridden with unbelief when it came to the supernatural. They were so heartbroken with what has happened that the negative experience defined their faith. And so the first evening, we were like 45 leaders. I preached what I'm sharing with you this morning. I shared this with them around the theology of healing. And then my team, they were clueless. Five of the seven of them were absolutely clueless. And I said to them, guys, now pray for people. And they were like, oh my soul, I've never prayed for people. And we're just stepping out. 16 of the 45 leaders were healed. I don't think anybody was left that wasn't healed. 16 testimonies came of Jesus healing people. And as I shared last night, I mean, over the rest of the week, so many miracles broke out. They had to have a special service for just testimonies of all the miracles that God has done. But they were heartbroken because of their negative experience. You see, but faith is not based on our experience. Faith is based on God's word. It's like Reinhard Bonnke says, faith isn't presumption. Faith is the assumption that God will keep his word. Faith isn't presumption. Faith is the assumption that God will keep his word. By his stripes, we are healed. Jesus went to the cross not as only as a spirit being. He went to the cross as a soul, as a spirit, and as a body, so that he can redeem the whole man, soul, spirit, and body. He heals all our diseases and he forgives all our iniquities, as Psalm 103 says. We believe Jesus forgives. I mean, if you met a prostitute or someone that has a horrible lifestyle and you lead her to Jesus, are you going to say, man, your sins are it's too bad. It's too dark. It's too much. I don't know if Jesus' blood is enough for this. Huh? Would you say that? No. We have faith that Jesus forgives and he forgives all sins. But his word says he heals all diseases. And I know we battle to make that transition. I'm going to make a case for you in the next 20 to 30 minutes. I want to answer this question. What if it's always God's will to heal? Oh, now you're pushing it too far. I'm going to give you illustrations from the Bible. I believe there are seasons of glory, of great grace. We see it in the Bible. And it says, and everybody got healed. And everybody got healed. And everybody got healed. As I said last night, if we create the right atmosphere, an atmosphere of faith, and an atmosphere where the glory of God can be. And when I look at the scriptures, it says, and everyone was healed. With Jesus, with the apostles, in the book of Acts. I'm going to take you to those scriptures in a moment. But there's this wonderful story of Jesus walking through the crowd. And there was this lady with a flow of blood for like 12 years. She spent everything on doctors. She's lost everything. And she could not, she has not been made whole. And then she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. So she prays through. I mean, there's a whole crowd. Everybody's touching Jesus. But they're not getting healed. But then there's this one lady that comes with faith. If I can just touch him. And then some point she touched him. And Jesus said he felt power leave him. And she was healed. And he said, who touched me? And the guys were like, Jesus, everybody's touching you. No, but someone touched me differently. Someone touched me with faith. And then the lady came forward and said, I'm healed. This is powerful because Jesus didn't even know that she's there. You know, we think like God looks down sternly at us. I don't know if you've done enough. I don't know if you've prayed enough. I don't think you're good enough. No, I'm not going to heal you today. Jesus didn't even know that she's there. But she came in contact with the power of God. She was healed. If you read later on in Mark chapter 6, in the, I think verses 50-ish around there, it says, they came to Jesus and they begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And it says that everybody from all the towns came around to him. They didn't ask him to pray for them. They said, may we just touch you? We've heard what happened to that woman. She's been sharing her story. And it says, and everyone who touched him, they were healed. Come on, guys, that's massive. Everybody who came in contact with the power of God, they were healed. You see, I believe the issue is not the will of God. The issue is the atmosphere we create. The issue is our faith levels. The issue is the tangible presence of God. If God is in the house, I tell you guys, if Jesus was here this morning, there would not be one sick person in the house. Now, I have good news. He is here through the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, just coming into contact with the power of Christ. I mean, we've experienced these moments of glory. We were in Brazil 2016. It was the Sunday service, three services, massive church. At the end of the service, we would just have people line up, like long queues of people. I had a lot of people in my queue. And my translator said to me, man, you've got two hands. Don't pray for one person at a time, pray for two. So I had two lines. And it was just an incredible moment. There was just so much grace. I proclaimed who Jesus is. And then I stepped out, say, well, now he's going to move. And now we're just like, we pray for, I'm like, interview, like, what's wrong with you? Then they'll say, the one lady, for instance, she had a large cyst on her breast. I'll ask a test, is it there? She says, yes. I'll put my hand on her head, not on the breast, praise God. And then I prayed for her, and I just say, be healed in Jesus' name. I would literally just be a conduit of the presence of God. I'm just standing, I'm like, yes, Jesus, this is good. I'm in your presence, like a waterfall of life just flowing. I can sense the power of God just flowing through my being. And then the next moment, 30 seconds later, I'll ask a test and she'll test it. It's gone. And then she start crying. And then the next one, and the knee would be healed. And the next one, born deaf in the one ear, healed. And the next one will fall over by the power of God and be delivered of demons. And the next one, I personally prayed for 40 people that were tangibly, demonstratively healed that evening. 40. It felt like everybody was getting healed. So what if it's always the will of God? We must just create the right environment. So I want to take you to a few scriptures. I want to take you through a few scriptures so you can see this from the Bible. I want to make a case. But the most important thing is you need to be anchored in God's goodness. You need to know who he is. So John 11, verse 3 to 4, this is Lazarus died. And this reveals that you need to look from God's perspective. It says, therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So we've created this habit. It's like when someone, we have a meeting and someone says they're sick. I'm like, praise God. Hallelujah, because this is for the glory of God. You know, when Sonica had her skin disease and we were trusting the Lord for healing and we haven't seen any miracles and the blood was running down her arms and her legs and she'd get up in the morning and she'd be crying and I'm like, I want to freak out. But what I tell my guys, don't freak out, freak up. Freak up. Amen? Don't freak out, freak up. Lord, you know. And then I just started to proclaim, this is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. And then Jesus healed her. Amen. Praise God. So you need to proclaim, that this is for the glory of God. Come and say, this is for the glory of God. So last week, Monday, we had a leaders meeting for our men's camp preparation. And I wanted to illustrate to the guys This is how you pray for somebody. And I was sitting next to one guy and I felt, man, Corneille. I'm going to use him as a guinea pig. So I had no expectation. I haven't been praying today. I haven't spent hours. That was just admin day. Now I'm like Corneille standing there and there's 30 guys sitting around. Am I illustrating? Hey guys, what's the focus here? First of all, the win is to love somebody. You just want to love somebody. That's the focus. The win, miracles in God's hands, but I can love somebody by His grace. So we're just going to, we're going to love Him. So ask a few questions. And then the next moment I thought, but Corneille, do you have pain in your body? I said, Corneille, do you have pain in your body? The moment I asked that, the whole atmosphere shifted. I said, yes, 20 years of continuous back pain. And then I said to them, okay. So I illustrated to the guys, hey guys, so what you need to do is ask, did anything traumatic happen at that time? Because sometimes other stuff happens, but it ultimately affects our physical health. And I asked Corneille, did something happen? He said, well, my dad died. I was in the youth ministry. I lost my way. I became suicidal. I tried to kill myself. And since then, I have not followed God as I should have. So I led him in a prayer. I said, okay, Corneille, pray with me this. And so I said, I led him in a prayer to forgive and to repent and to forgive those and the disappointments. And don't blame God. God didn't kill your dad. Because that's one of the first things that happens. We begin to blame God. And I often ask people this. Okay, do you think it's God? Let's look at Jesus. When you get confused, look at Jesus. Did Jesus go around killing little kids? No. He spoiled every funeral. He's the healer. He's abundant life. He's not the thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the enemy sometimes comes and steals, and then we blame God for what the enemy has done. Are you hearing him? So you need to expose the lies, because the lie of believing this is God, God has done this, God. No, this is a messed up world. This is a sin, sick, cursed world. Cancers come, sickness come, people die, accidents happen. But I will never blame God. Because when you look at Jesus, you see the perfect image of the Father. He is good. Come on, say it. He is good. And as believers, we have eternal hope. If you don't get healed in this life, you will in the next. There's always hope. Believers are never without hope. This life is short. Eternity is forever. We are never without hope. But He is good. Come on, say it. He's good. Come on, say it. He's better than what I think. He is. So we prayed with Corneille, and then the one guy, one of our elders, who's not been a guy who prays for people, he sort of, this isn't for me. He came and he stood behind Corneille and he put his hand on Corneille. And then Corneille said the next moment he felt the power of God coursing through his being. And he's like, man, there's a giant standing behind me. And first he thought it might be our other elder. We've got one elder. He's massive, massive. Huge lock. He played border rugby. Huge guy. He says, no, this guy is bigger than that guy. And at some point, he looked behind him and realized, this is JP. He's like a smallish guy. And there was such a word. Because there's a giant living on the inside of us. And Corneille, the next moment, he was healed. The pain left his body. He was completely healed. And something shifted in his relationship with God. Amen. Come on, give Jesus praise for that. Jesus heals. That is who He is. He can't help Himself. That's who He is. But when you see from God's perspective, this is for the glory of God. And I tell you, even when the outcome is not what we wanted, it will be for His glory. You know the song by Jesus Culture? They're saying, you're a miracle-working God. I believe. How does it go, you miracle? But he basically is to proclaim, I believe that you still do miracles. Do you know the context of that story, of the song? Chris Kalila and his wife, they were pregnant and they lost their child. I mean, this is a ministry known for the supernatural power of God. But then he decided, he said, but our faith is not dependent on our experience. It is dependent on what God's word says about who He is. And then he wrote this song, But you are a miracle-working God. And that song is covering the globe and stirring people's faith. We don't believe He's a miracle-working God because we see miracles. We believe He's a miracle-working God because this is who He is. He is powerful. Come on, say it. He is powerful. Amen. So you need to believe it. John 9, 1 to 4, it says, now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, say, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Isn't that so us? Where's the sin? Who stuffed up? Where's the darkness? Who's doing what? Doing wrong? Oh, I didn't pray enough. I didn't anoint the windows so the burglar came. What did we do wrong? No, Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Jesus' perspective. This is for the glory of God. Don't try and figure out why. There's a mystery when it comes to healing. There's a mystery when it comes to the kingdom of God. We won't figure things out until one day we stand before God. But you can say, this is for the works of God. This is for the glory of God. Then Mark 16, 17 to 18. These signs will follow those who are awesome. No. Those who have theological degrees, no. Those who have a beautiful past, no. Those who believe in Jesus. There's so many unbelieving believers, and then there's real faith that you are expecting God to move. Those who believe in my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How do you know someone has faith? When they lay hands on the sick and they recover. When signs and wonders follow them, that's evidence of faith. Okay, well done, there's faith. And sometimes God moves even when we have no faith. Because is that awesome? So, healing, physical healing is at the heart of the gospel. So I want to quickly ask you this question. What did Jesus do? You know, in a WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, let's ask, what did Jesus do? He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. Guys, good news. There's a superior kingdom of heaven present right now. Good news. Then He demonstrated. Healed the sick, cast out demons, set people free in their soul, spirit, and body. Their whole being. Because He went to the cross as a soul, spirit, and body. Mark 1 verse 14. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. This was His message. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Change your way of thinking. Turn your heart to Jesus and change your unbelieving thinking to a place of all things are possible with God. This is for me right now. Come on, say it. This is for me right now. Come on, say, the power of God is for me right now. Amen. You need to shift out of the unbelief and appropriate it for yourself. Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed some. All who were sick. Come on, say all.
All.
Jesus came to reveal the will of the Father. And when He was present, everyone got healed. There's not one person that ever came to Jesus who asked for healing that wasn't healed. Not one. The only place where Jesus couldn't heal was in Nazareth where they were full of unbelief. Jesus reveals the will of God. There are many such scriptures where He says, and all were healed. The will of God. So we had a guy in church, his name is Bram, and he had a big accident when he was a teenager. He fell off a ladder, massively damaged his back. And so he was doing his master's degree in computer science. He was in East London, and he had major back problems. He had a lot of operations trying. They tried many things to sort out the pain, but they couldn't solve the pain. So the only way that he could position himself with minimal pain was to lie in bed, a little computer table made for him. So for 7 months, he would basically lie in bed. And so I went to him, me and an elder went to him, and we prayed with him. And while I was praying for him, I was like, there's nothing happening here. Nothing. I'm like, and he's a really intellectual guy. So I was like, man, how's your faith? He says, no. He has no faith. No faith. So I said to him, man, read this book. It's called Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. It's a classic, 100 years old. Read this book around the theology of healing, because sometimes people get healed just by reading the book. And build up your faith, and we're going to come back. And so, you know, I mean, their lives were a mess. I mean, he couldn't function. He couldn't just go to a coffee shop with his wife and just have normal time. He was just basically lying in bed, you know, trying to manage his pain. So about 2 months later, I mean, he actually told me at some point, don't come back. I don't have faith. Don't come back. But 2 months later, he has read the book. And he said he was lying in bed. And he was watching YouTube videos of testimonies of other people getting healed. And as he was lying in bed, he said at one point something clicked. And he realized it is the will of God to heal him. So he said he closed his eyes and he prayed. He said, Father, thank you that it is your will to heal me right now. And then he got out of bed and he was completely healed. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise for that. The next day he push started a car. What if it is always the will of God to heal? We must just shift the unbelief. And it's a fight. I tell you, it's a fight. Because we live by what we see. We live by our experience. We live by our past. Well, God has never. And I told you yesterday, 10 years, one, maybe two healings. Until we shift it into a place of faith. Under just over 3 years, 1,200 people healed. I believe God wants to democratize the gift of healing. I mean, so we are doing this crusade in this location in East London. So it was Sunday night meeting, Monday night meeting, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. By Monday night, we ran out of sick people. There was no one left on the altar call. There was no one left. Everybody has been healed that needed healing. So on a Monday night, I challenged the guys. I said, guys, come on, Jesus, not intimidated with anything. Bring the wheelchair people. Bring the blind. Bring the lame. Bring the deaf. Bring them in Jesus' name. Praise God. Tuesday night, they came. And it got really fun. It was awesome, and God started to touch these people as well. So the Tuesday night, there's a lady, 80-year-old lady. 3 years ago, she fell. She had a major injury, so she has had a walker for 3 years. She couldn't stand without the walker. She couldn't walk without the walker. So they prayed for her. Nastasha and Stefan, them, they prayed for her. And at some point, Jesus touched her mightily. So she left the walker, she stood without the walker, she walked without the walker, and then she danced without the walker. It was beautiful. It was like a moment. She left the building with her sister carrying the walker. Hallelujah. Our God is powerful. Jesus heals. That's who He is. But we need to shift the unbelief, and we need to believe, you know, this, as the one guy said, you know, the power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. He will. And He never fails. He moves mightily. So now you might ask me, okay, but surely we need to die sometime. That's a good question. Let's look at this. Exodus 23. Old Testament, Moses, Exodus 23, verse 25 to 26. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Guys, Old Testament, before the cross, we are in a better covenant. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. And then he says, I will fulfill the number of your days. I will fulfill the number of days. And this is where the mystery comes in. We just don't know when the number of days are fulfilled.
But as long as you haven't fulfilled your destiny, as long as you have not fulfilled the number of your days, you can't stand on the promise of God. Lord, it is your will to heal me. I've not finished my job. Amen. Fulfill your days. Praise be to God. But I tell you, when there's a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, or anybody under 80, it is the will of God. Amen. That's just my idea. Praise the Lord. So you need to understand that. So the first thing is, you need to be anchored in who God is. Jesus showed us what a son of God looks like. Jesus showed us. He didn't come, he didn't operate by the power of his godhood. He operated by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is where the catch is. He was without sin. He was without sin. And so he could carry the fullness of God's Spirit upon his life. He operated by the power of the Holy Spirit because he wanted to show you and me what is possible for a son of God who is surrendered to the Holy Spirit. But now I have good news. When Jesus went to the cross, do you know what he did? He took all your sin. Every sin. He took all your stuff. And he took it upon himself, and then he gave you his perfection. He gave you his righteousness. So when the Father looks at you, who does he see? Jesus. He sees the perfection of Christ. It's not about how much you fast. It's not about how much you work for it. It is about receiving by faith. I'm a son. I am forgiven. I am no longer a sinner. Now I am a saint. My body, your body, has been prepared for glory. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. No longer we do sacrifices, animals, blood. The blood of Jesus has washed us clean. You need to know this. If you don't know this, you always think, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. Come on, let's say it. The power of the blood has washed me clean. In Jesus' name. I am no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm a son. A child of God. And my house, this body, has been prepared for glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. Amen. And this is where the fight is at. Identity. Who you are in Christ. And who he is in you. This is where the fight. If you win this fight, you're going to see the glory of God manifest through you like never before. Amen. So I want Steve to quickly. He's an accountant. You wouldn't think. He is now a revivalist. Praise God. So I want him to quickly just share just what God has done in him.
Amen. Amen. You need to understand my background. I'm in a finance world, which is a very conservative world. But God has set me free from that. And Lynn and I have been in a stage where we were in a mainline church, and we were in a place of barrenness. And God showed us to join Shofar in October 17. So we started to come. And at the end of last year, we still weren't members yet. We became members about 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago. But anyway, so we're now licensed to be with you, members of Shofar. So end of last year, Andre said that 2019 is going to be a year of missions. So he enlisted a whole lot of mission programs that we were going to go on. And that was really out of my comfort zone. So I've never been on a mission trip before. So I put my name down for the Shofar. Lynn and I put our name down for the Cambridge location. So we went for training, and we were told to fast. Because Andre said that when you go into the mission field, it's like a battle, a spiritual battle. You need to be prepared. So we fasted, and I said to Lynn, I've never fasted before. I'm scared of this. What happens if I go hungry? So we came for the first training on the Wednesday, and we broke into small groups, and I said to the guys, how's the fast going? So they said, no, the fast only starts tomorrow. I said, I started yesterday. So I fasted for 4 days. And then on the Saturday, I was starving. I was only drinking water for 4 days. And I try to pack my day in the office with so many meetings that it would distract me from eating. So on the Saturday, I do the park run. And I chose to do this difficult course. And Lynn says, how are you going to do this park run? Because you haven't eaten for 4 days. Anyway, I managed it, and I spoke to the Lord the whole way, and I did my best time in about 6 months. So anyway, we get to the Cambridge location, and we go through this training of Andre teaches us that we have to step out in faith. So we then we go into the location, and we walk around past the Shebeen, and there's six of us. And three from the local church and three from Shofar. So we walk past the Shebeen. We go into this one house. And it's really like, it's just about three ladies there. And so, to cut a long story short, another four joined. And we led them, every single one, to Jesus. Seven ladies to Jesus. Then we went to another house. And we walked into this house. And there were about four ladies there. And so we said to Zay, we've come to share Jesus with you. And so the one lady said, yes, can you please pray for my ears? No, I haven't prayed for somebody in a long time. And so I stepped forward and I laid my hands on her and I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And suddenly she says to me, stop shouting, stop shouting. I can hear, I can hear. And then she said, and also, can you pray for my feet? I've had no feeling in my feet. So we laid hands on her feet and she said, and then she started dancing in her room and she said, the feelings come back, the feelings come back. So then there was another lady sitting on the couch looking at all this, and she had thick glasses like Coke bottles. So she says, can you please pray for my eyes? So we laid our hands on her. We had a little bottle of oil. We anointed her. And then she got so excited. She took her glasses off, and she walked outside. She said, she can see the chickens. She can see the grass. She can see the trees. She can see people. And we were so encouraged. It was like awesome. And I mean, that really stirred my faith. And that's practical stuff that the Holy Spirit has shown us, is that you just have to step out of your comfort zone and forget about what your mind says and just trust in the Holy Spirit, because just be a conduit, as Andre says, be a conduit and say, Lord, I'm available. The power of the Holy Spirit to flow through me to pass it on to other people. And you can be whatever. You can be a street sweeper. You can be this managing director of a company, as long as you're prepared to step out and say, God, I'm available to be used by you. And I tell you, when you see people healed, I tell you, it blows your mind and it increases your faith. So you just want to impart that to others. But you got to be prepared in your heart for that. And on the men's camp last weekend, my son's in Durban. And he's at the Sharks Rugby Academy as a professional rugby player. And he got injured and he snapped his ACL in a practice. It wasn't even a rugby match, just in a practice. He stepped wrong and he twisted his knee and he damaged his ACL. And he went for a major operation where it's about a 3-hour op, and they take a bit of your hamstring and they tie it round and do whatever, whatever. And he's been in a rehab process for 6 months. He hasn't been able to run or anything. So he's been in a rehab process at the Sharks Academy. And Lynn and I said, we prayed and we said, God, James has got to come on the men's camp. So he comes on the men's camp, and The word of knowledge came from one of the elders that there's somebody in the house that's got a sore left knee. And James's left knee had been damaged in this injury, in this accident. And he immediately stepped forward and he went up to the front. And Andre laid hands on him, and two of the other guys laid hands on him. And also a guy who hadn't prayed for somebody in 6 years, God gave him the boldness to step forward. And there's a long story about that. But God, he stepped forward to pray with Andre over James. And James was just weeping, that the tears were actually falling on Andre's hands. And James was supernaturally healed in Jesus' name. And Andre said, James, test your knee. So he went down like this. He went down a couple of times. And wow, it sucked. James said, there's no more clicking. Because when he couldn't actually go down like this in the rehab process. But for that night, he could go down in his haunches for the first time, and he didn't have a clicking noise. And then the next day, I kept on saying, James, test it, test it. So he was going like this for the whole weekend, and there was no pain. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to say, if you make yourself available, God can use you mightily. And it increases your faith, and you get so excited because it's not all about yourself. It's about the power of God moving through you. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You see, he doesn't look like an accountant anymore. He's now a revivalist. caught fire. But this is one of the keys. You need to step out. You need to pray for others. You need to say, man, I'm going to... The miracle is in God's hands. The stepping out is in yours. I mean, his son actually said his left knee felt stronger than the right knee after we prayed for that knee. Isn't that amazing? Praise be to God. So, be anchored in God. Believe and step out. I want to read another verse here. John 14, verse 12. It says, most assuredly, I say to you... Now, some people really battle, eh? Really battle to believe it. This is in the Bible. Come on, let's say it. This is in the Bible. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, come on, say believe. The works that I do, he will do also. This is Jesus speaking. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Greater works. I'm like, Lord, how does that work? How can someone do greater works than Jesus? That just feels wrong, huh? So we were in Rio de Janeiro doing ministry there at a church. It was a weird church. Or a weird evening. I had a translator, but he couldn't figure out what I was saying. So it was officially the worst church meeting, I think, in the history of the world. And at some point, I'm like, oh, just let's leave it. And I just heard the Lord say, just rebuke the devil. So I took authority over demonic powers, and it was in like the church of two parts, and suddenly the power of God fell on the left block. And it just felt like everybody was manifesting demons. Even children were manifesting. It was like, it looked like a war zone as God came down to set people free. I was like, guys, have you ever seen anything like this? They said, no. I said, neither have I. I don't know, but God is in the house. It was amazing. But at that meeting, during worship, I felt the Holy Spirit ask me this question. Andre, would you like to know how is it possible for you to do greater works than Jesus? I'm like, yes, God, I want to know. Please tell me. Interesting answer. The Lord said, community. The power of community. And the Holy Spirit started to unlock that for me or open that up to me over the following weeks and months. When Jesus walked the earth, he was the only Spirit-filled believer. The disciples were useless. Huh? Go read it again. They were useless. They operated by his anointing. They haven't received their own anointing yet. But then in the book of Acts, as the Holy Spirit was poured out, there were thousands of believers filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were praying day and night, and they were worshiping God, and they were building their lives around the power of the Holy Spirit. The result was in Acts chapter 5, where it again says, I want to read that verse to you. Where is that? Do I have that verse here? In Acts chapter 5, verse 14. It says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Now, people might probably got healed by his shadow. Now, that didn't happen with Jesus that we know of. This is next level. And it says there, also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Are you seeing it? They are when there is that level of unity in a community of believers, and the faith levels are high, and we create the right environment, then everyone gets healed and set free because God's in the house. Amen. So what if it is always the will of God to heal? What if the will of God isn't the issue? The issue is our unbelief. The issue is us not hosting his presence, not carrying his presence as he wants us to. And this is the word the Lord gave me in end of 2012. He said, there's an outpouring of healing coming. And he said to me, there's a time coming where everyone's going to get healed. And we have had meetings where everybody's just getting healed. Amen. It's about positioning yourself in the river of life.
And then the rivers of life flows forth from your inner being. And this is why it's powerful. You need to create a culture in this church. You cannot do this alone. You cannot do this alone. You need to psych one another up. Like what we did, I shared with intercession guys. Now, we call our intercession Ignite the City. And what we've done is we've combined prayer times with evangelism. Prayer evangelism. So we come together at the start of our prayer meeting. We just share. And then some of the guys have been on fire. So they do as a lifestyle. They go out and they pray for people. And then someone says, hey, I prayed for this one at work and they got healed. Or I led this one to Jesus. Not everybody, just a few. But their stories are encouraging the others. And so then we share those stories and then we worship Jesus. We spend a lot of time in worship in our prayer meetings because we want to get God's perspective and we want to carry His presence, and then we pray. Even if we pray for 10 minutes, it's okay. But to carry His presence and then. And so I want to encourage you to do the same. You need a bunch of people who are like, guys, come on, let's do this. Let's read books. Let's position ourselves in a place where we can carry His presence like this. Amen. And that's why Sonic and I started to read, to write books. Because the book helps you. My book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, it helps you. It's like every day is a specific devotional that helps you to renew your mind, to make declarations, and to walk in the fullness of God. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Last story, and then we're going to do practical. Lekker. Come on, say lekker. Lekker. So we were, again, it was in Rio de Janeiro, and a lady came to me. Her name is Josie Costa. So a few of us pray for her. She was stage 4 cancer. So lymphoma cancer. So it's spread to her spine and her lymph nodes all over her body. She was starting to do chemotherapy. And we prayed with her and we commanded in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, you don't ask. You can't say, God, please come help us now. But at some point, you need to command. In Jesus' name, be healed. And then you need to test. So we commanded, and the next moment she tested, and she took her hands to all her lymph glands, and her eyes went big like, no way, the swelling is gone. The swelling is gone. The swelling is gone. Something has happened. About 6 weeks later, I went onto Facebook, and someone tagged me. Brazilians love Facebook. Love it. So she posted that she went to the doctors and she was given a complete clean bill of health. No cancer in her body. Praising Jesus. Amen. And she tagged me and there was like 190 comments and everybody was sharing and the Brazilians were going wild. Yes. I was stoked. I couldn't understand what they're saying, so I sent it to the translator. I know this sounds exciting, but I don't know what it is. Please, what happened? What happened? Then he translated that she's been tested by the doctors and she was healed. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's do practical. Words of knowledge. So what we're going to do, we're going to call a few people forward. And then we're going to ask everybody that has any problems in your body. We're gonna make groups all over this venue. So you're gonna stand up if you have any problem. First, we're just gonna quickly call out a few words of knowledge. So please respond, raise your hand if that's for you. A word of knowledge simply gives you a bit of an idea of where God is wanting to move right now, and it releases faith. It reveals that God wants to heal you specifically. But we have found that just sort of gets the process started, and then the Lord heals everybody else in Jesus' name.
So if any of these words trigger you, even if it's not all, then you can just stand. I thought there's someone here with nasal passages, something that you need an operation for in your nasal passages, and I felt it might be an Olivia or something that sounds like Olivia. Is there anyone like that? Nasal passages that need healing? Anyone? Okay.
Okay. Just stand where you are. Just stand where you are.
Okay. Then I felt like there's someone here with tumors, cancer tumors that's starting to grow. Is there anyone that needs healing? Cancer tumors?
Or even just standing in the gap for someone if it's not yourself.
not in the meeting, but they got healed by somebody standing in the gap for them. I'll share that, those stories later.
And then someone who, I felt like God's going to give new hips. You have hip problems. He's going to give new hips. He's going to give you new hips. Anyone with a problem with one hip, I'm giving you problems, pain in your hip, God's giving new hips today. And then anyone else, I feel like there might be two more. Anyone else, new hips. And then, this is quite interesting. I felt like there's someone here that got a recent piercing in their ear. And God is saying that he loves all of you. The word is for that person who recently got a piercing. It might be in your ear. And God is wanting to tell you that he loves all of you. All of you. Is there anyone like that? Anyone got a recent ear piercing or piercing? Okay. Then the last one is you've had this word over your life. You don't know exactly what it means, but God is highlighting you, and he's saying that this word is gonna come to pass. It's you've got a word over your life that you are a forerunner in the spirit, that you pioneer things, and that you've been compared to John the Baptist. You've had a prophetic word over your life that you're a forerunner, a runner, a John the Baptist. And God is saying that he's going to come and move through your life. Is there anyone who's had that word over your life? You're a John the Baptist, a forerunner. Anyone? Okay.
Yes. We're stepping out. And so often we do this also, and then no one responds, and then later they come, that was for me. So it's very encouraging when we step out and someone comes and tells us, yes, that was for me.
I felt people battling with their hands, like specifically a thumb, but like, okay. And then you can just stand, and then I felt left ankle. Sometimes we feel left and then it's right. Okay, praise God. If we get the left or the right, then we're thankful. But sometimes it's, okay, then I felt right knee, like you're battling with your right knee. And then this is a personal thing, so if you don't have the courage to stand and it's you can maybe just speak to me later. But I really sense that there might be a lady you're battling with your menstrual cycle, like with heavy pain. Like it literally puts you in bed almost, you know, when but you can speak to me personally later if it's too personal.
Anybody with pain? Yeah, we're going to. Anyone with pain in the shoulders, neck, shoulders right now? You have pain? Because we must be able to test. It's just, it's also good if you get healed later, or you can only test it later, but it's, we want to demonstrate now.
The Lord gave me a word when we were in the meeting this morning praying. Somebody with skin disease, skin infection. It might not be somebody here, but you can stand in the gap for a family member or friend, but skin disease.
Skin problems? Any skin problems? Yeah, you must claim it. I often joke about it, but I say if we say left foot, then your right ear is sore, man. Just claim it. It's close enough. It's all connected. Fatom for yo.
Yeah, then last night while we were praying, I just had this pain behind my right ear, yeah, in this area, and I just felt like it's more like a brain pain, if that makes sense. So I know you've prayed for someone with headaches last night, but maybe if you've got a lot of headaches, a lot of pain here in your brain and this side, yeah, just pray for you for that.
Okay, any headaches, headache problems, migraine problems, that type of thing, okay? And then back problems. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of backs healed. We do backs. Jesus does backs. And everything else. He backs you. He backs you.
I just have one last one. I received a name from God. So if it in any way relates to you or if it's your name, I had the name Linda Germesizen, which I know is a very unique surname. But I decided God is not leaving me alone. So if this is in any way related to you, Linda Germesizen. Anyone?
Any Lindas?
Not. It's okay.
Anybody know somebody with that name?
Linda, but not the surname.
Is your name Linda? Your sister. Okay, well, we can pray for her as well.
Awesome. Okay, so the shoulder, neck problems. Who's got pain right now? Okay, anybody with more than 5 years of shoulder, neck problems? Okay. You and the lady over there, also come. Come stand over here. Okay, so the rest of us. No, stand. Yeah, we're going to pray for you also. We're going to pray for all of you now. I just want them to come and stand here. I'm going to demonstrate on them. Okay, so I want all of you that are standing. Okay, anybody with any other problems in your body, also stand. Glory Jesus. You. Lekker. We run out of our sick people in East London. You're gonna. In Jesus' name. Okay. I think we're too many now. So we're going to have to do maybe a second round. So let's do it as this, okay? All those who already respond, the rest of you who did not respond so sit again, please. Sorry. We're going to pray after the second session, this next session, we'll pray for you again. But I just want us just to get rolling that all of you can get an opportunity to pray for somebody. Okay, so the rest of you, can you please move out to somewhere, just a bit of space that people can get around you? Can you find a spot? So the rest of us, please find someone to pray for. You go stand with them now. Raise your hands quickly, those who were standing. Raise your hands and keep them raised until at least there is one person standing with you. Richard. Okay, if the hand is raised, please go to them. Guys, this is where everybody gets into the game. There's someone right there at the back. Sound guys, you can come down. You don't need to do sound anymore. Well, we'll say if you need to do something. Come on, because still hands got raised. One person with somebody else. If there's two people on one person, then you leave that person and you go to somebody else. Go find someone, brother. If there's two people praying for one person, then you need to go somewhere else until all the hands are covered. At the back, there's a guy there. Okay, who's not covered yet? Raise the hand high if you're not covered yet. Are the rest of you all covered? Okay, hallelujah. So I want us to quickly put on the screen the again, A, B, C, D, but the how to pray for people. That should be right at the end of my PowerPoint there. They're right at the end. Are we there? Right at the end. Well, the end of before is like a fourth, fifth, last slide. It should be how to pray for people. A stands for ask. B stands for believe. Those ones. Can you quickly put it up? Come on, you can do this. This, yes, yes. Okay. Awesome. So I want to take you through this. So the A stands for ask a few questions. What's your name? What's wrong? The focus is on loving somebody. So you want to get a feel of who they are. You want to engage with them. The win is to love somebody. Okay? You can't do a miracle. Jesus does the miracle, but you can love somebody well. Secondly, we're going to go to believe God is going to heal. So then you just release the presence of God. So you're not going to pray yet. You're going to start thanking God. You're going to start celebrating who Jesus is. You're going to thank God. You're the healer. You are powerful. You are bigger than this. So you need to believe. Then when you sense the presence of God and you've spent a bit of time just filling up with His presence, then you want to command. So then you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Sickness go, pain leave.
Then after the command, you've done the command and you've prayed for a little bit, then you ask them, okay, so what are you feeling? Any change in the pain level? So then we often do this from a pain level of 10 being maximum, 0 being no pain. Where were the pain levels and where is it now? So someone say, wow, it's like an 8 or a 9, and now it's a 6. We're like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Then we start praying again, and we say, God, thank you for what you're doing. Now, God, more. Come on, say more. There's always more. So you want to release more into their lives. So then you command again, Father, in the name of Jesus. So again, you just release the presence of God, then you command healing. We command the pain to leave. We command the kingdom of God to come right now. And then you test again. Say, hey, what are you feeling? Any change? And then what you need to do is sometimes when the healing isn't complete, you sometimes need to get to the root problem. Hey, what happened 10 years ago when this pain started? Is there somebody you need to forgive? Often we pray for people that get half healed, and then sometimes the Holy Spirit says to me, she's angry with her husband. Yes, all the women know what we're talking about. It is not hard for a woman to be angry with her husband. So, but then you need to forgive because unforgiveness blocks the flow of healing. So you want to get to the root issue. You want to get to the root problem. You want to deal with whatever is keeping the healing from flowing. And then you pray again. So we're going to pray at least 3 times, but with stopping and testing. And sometimes it's a step of faith, like elbow. Okay, let's test that elbow, or let's test that back, or let's test. Something happens when we step out. It actually increases faith. Okay, and then the last bit there, you direct into truth. The whole person, I said, you want to get to truth, you want to address lies. Sometimes there's so many lies binding people, you want to release truth. You want to direct them to Jesus, to salvation, to be planted in church, those type of things. You want to direct them in the right direction. Amen. Okay, so open your hands quickly before we get rolling. Can I have my background music playing? I've got a special Brazilian track for us for this morning. Instrumental background music. Thank you, Father.